back in the boat of knowledge that is Behind the Beard WNC, a podcast where four guys get together and we banter about mostly high school football, but it can go off the rails at any time. We hope you're entertained, but if you're not, it's all about our entertainment too. You got other choices out there if you need them. In the meantime, what a great weekend. Football is on. Gosh, it's great. It was just absolute paradise. I mean, come on.
The question is, how much weight did you guys gain this weekend?
I don't know.
I want to take the batteries out of the scale because...
Yeah. I mean, you talk about football. I mean, nonstop.
Nonstop.
It's fantastic.
There's so many days in a row without it now. It's like you just can't beat it.
Yeah, the new weekend is from football is Tuesday, Wednesday. Everything else has football.
Everything else has football.
It's fantastic.
I do want to send some condolences to a good friend of ours, Derek Green.
Oh, yes.
That took 1 minute and 2 seconds
for Lewis to jump right in.
Sorry, Derek.
Oh, wow.
Just from the text you sent earlier and everything that was being said, I hope you enjoyed it.
Lewis is referring to the Alabama-Florida State game.
Indeed.
Lewis is a passionate fan of the Florida State Seminoles, and our buddy, good friend of the show, Derek, is a Alabama Crimson Tide fan, and it's just been... It's been nice welcoming Derek to like what reality is for college football.
Blitz, Bama, blitz. Let's go.
And now Lewis is going to be, now Lewis thanks Florida State. I mean, this is just going to be awesome.
Does Florida State jump to the top 10?
Yeah, they should.
I don't think they do.
That'd be a long jump.
I think 2019, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, that was convincing fashion.
Yeah.
I did notice Florida State, the rest of their schedule's like Colgate, Florida A&M.
Yeah.
You know, sprinkled in with Miami, stuff like that, you know.
I actually didn't look at their schedule.
ACC, yeah. I mean, ACC had a decent weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the SEC have a good weekend?
Ooh.
They did not.
They got a big win at Clemson.
Yeah, they did.
LSU.
They did.
LSU got a big win at
Clemson. They looked good.
Yeah. Of course, Alabama lost, and then...
Texas lost
Ohio State.
Yep.
Wow.
I couldn't believe, you know, everybody's talking about Manning going to be Heisman contender. Did not look like a Heisman contender.
He did not look good at all.
That poor kid's got a lot of pressure on him. They've been talking about him for 2 years.
But also,
they need to let him play.
I did see
defensive coordinator, you know, was a defensive coordinator in the NFL for a couple Super Bowls. So, sure. I mean, he had a tough competition going against.
They were playing the defending national champions. It's not like they were playing
with
Florida
a lot of their dudes back as well.
Florida State. Did you just say not like they're playing Florida State?
Just kidding, of course.
It's going to be some blows here before we get 10 minutes into this thing.
When do we play NC State?
I don't know. Are we on the schedule this year?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's 32 teams in the ACC, so I don't know who plays each other anymore.
Used to, you knew you played the ACC teams. Who knows who we play anymore? Oh man. Goodness.
It's also a great week for high school football.
Some interesting contests. Yes. Three games, guys, where a team scores to get within one, goes for two, doesn't get it.
Yep.
Three.
Do you think these coaches are just analytics? I mean,
yes.
Analytic guys?
I don't know. I think if you score, maybe you got the momentum. You think, here's where we win it.
Yeah.
And, let's be honest, it's non-conference.
It's non-conference. Go for the win.
Yeah.
Go for the win.
If it's a conference game, maybe you tie.
You're not trying to risk injuries, trying to play another. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking.
And plus, like, you know, like our game.
We've seen it before a lot on the road, like for road teams. Like, I mean, college football's done it.
That's what they say. Go for two on the road.
They go for two on the road.
I'm pretty sure if our game continued on, we'd had a few ejections, so I think it was a good call.
Yeah.
It's getting real chippy.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So. I can't imagine Lewis's team he supports being chippy. I can't.
They fit Lewis perfectly.
Yes.
Indeed.
But what, I mean, we'll dive into them, but what a week of high school football. I mean, there's some things we didn't expect and things we did expect.
Can I give you my stat of the week?
Yeah, please.
So, you know, we had Coach Johnson from ACA on. They've played three games. Currently, their score for the season.
This is a good stat.
0-189.
Wow.
Oh.
Pat, do some math. What's 189 divided by 3?
Yeah. I was told there were not any math.
63.
Yeah. Lewis knew. 63.
Yeah, that's who you go to for math.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. How's the VR working?
Man. I'm sure it's working. It's making a better, but man,
sure
that's a tough start.
Yeah.
And it's probably, I mean, the schedule's probably difficult as well. It's probably not the same schedule they played last year. Is it?
I don't believe it is.
I don't know if it is.
They're independent, so they can play anybody they want. They're not even in a conference.
Yeah. And he said this wasn't a one-year thing. So,
no.
You know, we're – I just off the interview with him, I believe that they're going to try and do the right things and get the right kids over there and stuff. But that's tough. That's a tough start.
Well, definitely. We knew it was going to be a tough situation anyway. No field, all, you know.
Right.
They're rebuilding the whole thing.
So yeah, for sure.
The whole school.
Yeah.
Not just the football program.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they got a few eggs in the pan there.
You guys want to talk about our picks from last week?
I definitely do.
I don't.
I don't know that I do.
I think we got a clip. Let's start with clip number one.
Lewis had a strong week. I would like everybody to go screenshot it. This is the first and last week that Lewis will be in first place.
Yeah. That's going to be a clip next week.
Indeed.
And I apologize. Carson was incorrect.
Carson was definitely incorrect on
Lewis,
that.
7-3.
Again.
Wow.
Again.
Carson, Pat, Mike, 5-5.
Yeah.
Starboard.
It was 5-5. Like, we didn't have the same exact picks. It was just the collective.
So Lewis now 14-6.
Indeed.
I'm 11-9.
We need to knock Lewis down a few pegs.
Carson is, of course, 10-10, Mr. 500 over there.
Yeah. I mean,
and Pat 9-11.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, guys, the beginning of the season, 14-6, 0-1 their first game, in the second game, and Florida State beat Alabama. I don't think it gets any better than this.
Lewis is at the peak He's
reached the summit.
He is at the summit right now. This grin he's got on his face, I wish the other listeners could see it. Makes me sick.
So let's talk a little bit about last week. What do you think?
Yes, let's do that.
So we're going to start with our first game, Swain at Pisgah. Pat referred to Pisgah as the most physical team on earth. And
I don't think I quite said that.
Well, tougher than any MAC team.
Tougher than any team I've seen in my lifetime.
No. They looked very physical in that jamboree thing we went and saw.
They did look physical, the jamboree.
Without a doubt. Well, I have no idea what happened Friday night.
So Pisgah did win 28-27 over Swain. A Swain team that we did not think looked very good at the jamboree.
No. And it was pretty lopsided at the end of the first half, as I recall, watching scores come by.
Yes. So Pisgah does get the win. They were a 31.5-point favorite. I went back and listened to last week. I changed my pick midway through.
Yeah, you did.
We all picked Swain. We got to Pat, and then I changed it to Pisgah and convinced Pat to pick Pisgah as well.
Yeah. I really appreciate that.
So Pisgah led by their quarterback, Mahaffey. He was 6 of 14 for 80 yards and a touchdown. Landon Pope rushed 19 times for 86 yards and a touchdown. This is one of those games. Swain went for 2 in the win, not able to convert. But
they covered.
They absolutely
and that
covered.
Carson they means they're a great team.
They were a great team Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
So Carson Lewis get this one correct.
Of course.
Yeah. So next one up. This was a surprise, guys. I think it's a surprise to all of us. West Henderson traveled to Hendersonville.
Yeah, what happened here?
Hold on a minute. So, some people were not surprised by this.
Lewis got this one correct, yes. So West loses 39-7. Hendersonville gets the win.
I mean, in dominating fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dominating fashion.
The 7 came late. Hendersonville was led by their quarterback, Jerron Ward. 15 of 18, guys, 326 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception.
That's amazing.
What did the coach call it?
According to the head coach, he almost got orphaned for his 1 interception.
I think we may have made him mad with our picks, so added a little motivation.
Yeah, I got a little text from Coach Ward. You know who came in?
Yes, on the show.
On the show.
Friend of the show.
He said, I think you pissed my quarterback off.
Yeah, we know.
It appears that you were right.
Indeed.
So Hendersonville just destroyed West. Running back Jordan Buford had 14 carries for 144 yards and a touchdown. Let's see here. Wide receiver Amir and Albany both had over 150 yards receiving, and they held West Henderson to 242 total yards of offense.
Very impressive job.
None of us were at this game, right?
No.
It was on TV, so I watched a little bit of it.
I saw highlights. There was a lot of highlights on social media.
So what's the skinny? What happened?
So
did West not get off the bus, or did what happened?
Hendersonville dominated up front on both sides of the ball.
So yeah.
It was just domination from the beginning to end, and then it looked like, I mean, when he wanted to go throw a deep ball, I mean, I saw one touchdown pass, and I don't think there was a defender within 5 to 10 yards of him. And it was just a go route. I mean, Set Hutt chucked it up, and I mean, it was just a perfect ball laid out, 40-yard pass. I mean, it was beautiful.
For West, a couple stats. Cade Young, the quarterback, 11 of 22 for 127. He also rushed it 7 times for 11 yards. Their big running back, McGraw, 21 carries, 104 yards, wasn't able to get into the end zone.
No, but, I mean, shout out to Hendersonville's defense for, I mean, McGraw's, we obviously have covered him a lot and know that he's a fantastic football player. And Mike's talked about it. You can drive all you want, but if you don't get in the end zone.
Yeah. So we do have a clip from this game.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I think I got Wes Henderson dethroning the MAC champs and Asheville Cougars. I mean, it's we're there 2-0. So I don't want to change the thing.
So what Carson in love with West and Asheville. We have another clip. Can you play West one?
Pat?
Yeah, I have no idea, except that I'm not going to bet against West, so I'm going to take West.
I'm also with Pat.
Yes, you were.
And we were all wrong except Lewis. He's the only one that gets us right.
All I know is with my conference picks, thank goodness Hendersonville is not in West's conference.
Yeah.
So I guess
you have
my
concerns
pick is
about West now, though?
I mean,
they beat Irwin by a touchdown. Irwin gets beat by Mount Heritage bad.
Yeah, I think all this shows is, let's not make this about West. What a matchup Hendersonville-Mountain Heritage is going to be.
Yeah,
let's just focus on that. I mean, that is going to be a fun game.
So, you know, we talked about conferences the other week. We talked about the MAC and the Mountain 8 and how the Mountain 8 is better. Well, hey, Western Highlands just raised their hand and said, what about us? They got Hendersonville. And they got
Mountain Heritage.
Yeah. I mean, with the top two there, I mean, those.
That's probably two of the top three.
It's hard to disagree that those two teams are not in the top of the list.
Madison undefeated?
They've not had a strong opponent yet.
Yeah, but they're well coached. I mean, I'm going to. Ronald Tipton, ooh. I mean, they're very well coached.
So the Western Highlands, I mean, they're tough.
I really hope they can turn a double play out there.
Do you think Hendersonville beats the MAC teams? Do you think they beat?
I think so. I think Mountain Heritage is going to wipe the floor with them too. I mean, both very good teams right now.
Yeah,
it's just exciting football. I mean, it's so great to see it.
So Pat, would Hendersonville beat Reynolds?
I have no idea.
I mean, come on, think about it.
I have not seen Hendersonville play. No idea.
Yeah, we need probably a little more games to tell.
Indeed.
I think it could happen.
It would be a game.
I'm sure that you think it could happen, Lewis. I'm not so sure. I have no idea.
So next up, Owen traveled to Cherryville. Lewis, of course, at this game. Cherryville gets the win 28-27.
Tough.
Yeah. They were led by their quarterback, Jaden Adams, 8 of 14 for 116 and a touchdown. Running back, McCaney?
Yeah,
McCaney?
Number 6.
Yeah. 7 carries, 71 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also had 3 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown. For Owen, Hayden Burpo, 3 of 3 passing for 58 yards and a touchdown. Also had 13 carries for 175 yards and a touchdown. And Owen rushed for 218 yards as a team. Another game where Owen scores late, goes for 2, right?
Yeah, I mean, we battled. They were up 21-0 with probably like 2.5 minutes left in the first half. We battled back. Tie it up 21-21. They eventually take a late lead 28-21. We drive down last few seconds 27-28. We decide to go for 2, which I completely agree with in that situation. What we were talking about before we went on the air, if you're away team, you go for it, right? Just couldn't get it done there. But, I mean, this is one of the most impressive games I've seen in the last few years from Owen. Most Owen teams down 21-0, they're going to fold, and we're pretty much ready to just watch that fourth quarter time tick away. But this team battled back, a very emotional game for the players and, you know, the fans. People stepped up. Hayden Burpo, huge game. Emmett, great job. Hold on a minute. Thomas Russell, also huge third down, fourth down conversion with a pass. Thomas running the ball like crazy right now, playing defense good. I mean, overall, the team's just stepping up. Lyman, Big Cam on the line. He's probably had one of his best games he's ever played. So just to see them battle back shows me what that culture that, you know, Coach Faircloth was talking about when he was here with us. He's definitely building something. I'm looking forward to see what the rest of the season looks like.
So you'd say year two better than year one?
1,000%.
Yeah, and shout out also – Owen in the past, you would have, like you said, 21-0. And it's like I even said last week, it's either going to get worn down second half. Usually Owen sees a decline. I mean, for them to battle back from 21-0, I mean, you've got to be – didn't come out with a win, but you've got to be, like, super excited about how much fight was in the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I told you, like, if we probably did kick the field goal in time, which, you know, Burpo at the time, he was cramping up. I don't know if he kicks that. I don't know. But
he's your kicker as well.
Yeah, he's our kicker as well. So he was cramping up the whole second half in and out of the game. So does he kick that ball? I don't know. But if we did, I'm pretty sure we had some ejections or something coming because it was getting very, very chippy.
So did you have a change at quarterback? Because I believe it was Emmett Minks that played quarterback last week. Burpo 3-for-3 this week.
Burpo did throw the ball a little bit, but Emmett was slinging it as well.
I got you. So he was throwing it out of the backfield?
Yeah, he was like getting a pitch and then throwing it. Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah.
So exciting stuff. Pat Lewis got this one correct. Carson and I missed it.
Indeed.
So, indeed.
Indeed.
I was hoping the Owen Warhorses were going to get that win. You kept sending those score updates over on text. I was like,
It gets to the point where it's like, we talked about it last week, but if Cherryville's not going to cover, I sure as hell wanted Owen to win.
For sure. Yeah.
I like how we were getting updates, and then we get 2-point conversion incoming. We didn't hear anything else. I assume at that point, after 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I didn't get
it. If we want a little soapbox, I mean, the referees down there, not the best ones. Plus, also, the environment is like metal detectors, keep the crowd separate. There's little kids fighting behind our bench and stuff from down there. It's an interesting place to play. They got a weird set of culture down there for a farm town.
Also, had some referee issues at the Irwin game. We had a... I got in the car, I left a few minutes early, and the guys on the radio were talking about how bad, and I saw it, but how bad the back judge was. And for them to say that on the radio,
yeah.
They were like, he finally got one right. He hadn't got one. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
There was two brand new officials on the Irwin Mount Heritage game. Now, that should have been the top game in this area.
Sure.
Because Reynolds down the road.
Yeah.
So you would think they would get the best officials. Now, they had a very senior white hat.
Well, that, I think that's the thing. I think if you got any experience, you're going to be the white hat for all these games, and you got nobody around you that's really got a lot of experience.
So it's tough. So next up, one we all got correct. Rosman, now 0-2, traveled to North Buncombe. North Buncombe, a 32.5-point favorite. North Buncombe able to cover with a 48-14 win.
Good bounce back game for them.
Yep. So Rosman rushed for 274 yards as a team. No stats on Max Preps for North Buncombe. I did see with the ACT, Kingston Dennison, 7 carries for 145 yards and a touchdown. So I noticed he broke a real long one. I saw a highlight. Good game for them. They get the win. They got a rivalry game coming up this week.
You're going to go to the North Buncombe game, Watcher?
No.
No, okay.
No.
So next up, another nail-biter. Inca at Hayesville. Hayesville was the underdog getting 9.5. Well, they pull out the win, 21-20 over Inca.
Yes, they do.
Carson and Lewis get this one correct. For Hayesville, Trey Graves, 18 carries for 176 yards and 3 touchdowns. For Inca, the quarterback Trantham was 7-of-14 for 112 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Also rushed it 13 times for 34 yards. Inca 0-2 now. Again, a struggle in West Asheville.
Which I think we knew was coming, right?
I don't think we necessarily knew that Hayesville would get them.
Well, me and you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Indeed.
So next up, Tuscola traveled to Cherokee. Cherokee, the underdog, getting 15.5. Pat and Mike get this one correct as Tuscola only wins by 1, 36-35. This is the third game of the 2 points that we talked about earlier. Cherokee scores late, goes for 2, does not get it. For Tuscola, not a great game for quarterback Jet Bartley. 13-of-25, 161 with a touchdown and 3 interceptions.
Ouch.
Sophomore running back Sam Trantham, 20 carries, 176 yards and 3 touchdowns. Wide receiver Isaiah Hyatt, 9 catches for 115 yards. Ty Walker led the way on defense with 14 tackles. For Cherokee, sophomore quarterback, guys, you got to keep an eye on this guy. He's put up some big numbers. Dawson Panther, he was 11-of-21 for 249 and 2 touchdowns. Sophomore running back Kingston Welsh, 21 carries, 123 yards and a touchdown. And wide receiver Garcia, 6 catches, 134 yards and 2 touchdowns. Pat and Mike got this one correct.
Indeed.
Good job.
Sounds like Cherokee. I mean, Cherokee may have a decent team down there.
I think they do.
They do.
So it makes you wonder, you know, about them playing North Buncombe, getting North Buncombe, and then I did not expect this game to be that close. So maybe things in Canton Town aren't as, you know, I don't know, interesting year for Tuscola loading, possibly.
Pisgah and Tuscola both struggle in a win that generally, usually, they take care of pretty easily.
But yes. If you think about it, I mean, three turnovers and it's within a point. I mean, good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, still, you were raving on the quarterback last week. And
well,
so
I still think the quarterback's still better than anybody at ACR.
I disagree.
Sorry.
So next up, another one we all got right. This was TC at Watauga. Watauga, 10.5-point favorite. Well, they won 42-0.
Yeah.
no stats for TC, as there probably wasn't much to put on paper. For Watauga, quarterback Keller, 13 of 18 for 193 yards and two touchdowns. They had nine players who rushed for 222 yards, none over 60. And wide receiver Evan Burrows, seven catches, 106 yards and two touchdowns. Watauga, I mean, they're Watauga. They just keep rolling.
Yep. And I mean, we knew this was going to be an ugly game.
Watauga is consistent. Consistently good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, they're very good.
When you, with all the jumping around and people moving and people, you're not going to see that in places like Watauga. Where are you going to go? You're at Watauga. I mean.
Right.
There's no, in Buncombe County, we have what? Five public high schools.
Yeah, don't forget about Owen.
I always forget about Owen.
Yeah.
Plus some private schools, and you got a lot of options. In Watauga,
that's it.
You got one option.
That's it.
And it's Watauga High School. So I think it insulates them from some of the jumping around. And that's a good program. They win.
Yeah, and it's like you said, I mean, would the closest bigger school be, I mean, would that be McDowell?
Yes.
I think it is McDowell, yeah.
And I mean, they're not losing a player to McDowell.
Mm-mm. No.
So
next up, Asheville traveled to Dobbins-Bennett. This was a pick'em. Dobbins-Bennett gets the win 21-7. Only one to get this one right?
Who is it?
That would be me.
Oh.
We do have a clip for this one. Go ahead and pick'em.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cougars.
We found out that you pronounced it incorrectly.
Yeah, I'm taking the R out this week.
Do you want to give us the correct pronunciation?
Cougars.
Cougars.
Is that better?
Cougars. I think that's better.
Okay, let's go. All right. No, I mean, we knew this was going to be a tough matchup going in. I think something that, you know, they can take away from was, you know, defense. They showed signs of improving, and they kind of knew that they would need to play taking that young group on the road, they need to play a perfect game. And so, you know, they offense with them, they fumbled on a scoring chance to go up into half 14-6, then dropped a TD to tie it. So I think the game...
They were up 7-6 at half, yeah.
Yeah. So I think the game was maybe closer than the scoreboard showed. But, what a good test for taking young kids over to Kingsport. Not an easy place to go.
No, that place, they have some huge facilities. It's almost like a college thing.
Yeah.
Sam sent me
I'm about to say you see Sam's thing.
Got a quote from Coach Radford. He said, our kids played hard, and the defense improved a lot, which they did. They gave up 21 to probably a better team than the week before. So if they can get that defense rolling,
they're going to be tough.
That offense against most teams is going to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm still not out on the boys.
So they're still your boys, just to clarify. Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Unfortunately, Asheville, another tough game this week.
Yes.
So, next up, Mount Heritage at Irwin. I went to this game. Mount Heritage was a 3.5-point favorite. Well, they also win 30-15. Carson and Lewis got this one correct for Mount Heritage. They were led by their quarterback, Urban Rodriguez. He had 20 carries for, I'm sorry, running back.
Yeah.
20 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Running back Carter Bennett, 9 carries for 92 yards. They had almost 345 yards rushing. For Irwin, Caden Ingle, 16 of 27, 148 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Guys, they only had 24 yards rushing on 10 carries. That's 2.4 yards a carry. In reality, Lewis brought this up last week, that not having that line that they had last year could be trouble. And I dismissed it a little bit, and I was wrong. They got dominated on both sides of the ball up front. not able to run the ball, and not able to stop the run.
I'm kind of disappointed in you, Mike, because you are a lineman dad.
I am. I really thought their offense could overcome it with all the weapons they have.
So when you're sleeping at night in your MAC champion shirt, is this the stuff you're thinking about?
So no Lawson Reynolds for Irwin.
I did have a friend. I had a friend at the game who was high up, his associate athletic director at a college a few years back, and he was watching the game with his dad, and he said, if you kind of just basically the best way to summarize it is if you squinted your eyes, you just saw the Mountain Heritage just continuing to hit, pushing the line. Is that kind of what you gathered as well?
Yeah.
And he said you'd be surprised of how big they were.
Okay, that's what I was telling you week one.
He said it's
not
that they were just like, he said that the Kaysen Jones kid is, he's like, that's a Division I football player. And then he said they also had another big tight end. And so when they get them two on the ends, he's like, they just push.
Yeah. And the other thing about Mount Heritage, they don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
They don't have turnovers. They don't have stupid penalties. You know, they had a few holding calls, but when you run the ball 100 times a game, you're going to have holding penalties. It's just part of football. But no stupid penalties, no personal fouls.
And also, their linemen, they get down to second, third level.
Yeah. And to me, Mount Heritage looked like, you know how Reynolds used to look when, you know, you bring them up from the youth league and they get there and they don't think anymore. They know exactly what they're doing.
Because they've been training the system since they were young. Time.
And that's what Mount Heritage looked like. It looked like they weren't thinking. They do a lot of, you know, fake this running back, run this, you know. It's not just line up and run at you. There's some
misdirection.
That's the word I'm looking for. And they weren't thinking.
Did they have a lot of guys play both ways?
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a smaller school, yeah.
Well, this goes back to what we're talking about with Reynolds, and I was talking to somebody at work about this. It's much better to raise somebody up in the system. Like you said, they're not thinking anymore. They're just reacting and doing what they've been trained to instead of what other schools are choosing to do, just plug somebody in. Hopefully they get a hold of the system.
And that's what Chris has been saying as well. You know, Chris, our friend Chris St. Ange, he's been saying for years, you know, the best teams at Reynolds are ones that came from the bottom and worked their way up through the system. And that system was taught the whole way.
Sure.
But that takes buy-in from youth league coaches, middle school coaches,
on the way up.
JV coaches.
And parents. You can't get frustrated and take your kids somewhere else.
And there's more opportunity. I mean, there's more opportunity in Asheville to take your kids. I mean, to take your kids elsewhere.
Right.
How many kids from Mountain Heritage are leaving?
Yeah, no, they're not.
They're not leaving. And Kaysen could play it. Anybody would take Kaysen Jones and would plug and play him.
But why would he leave?
Correct. I'm just
saying. Yeah, exactly. He has no reason to leave.
Right.
Yeah, that's why you see them being so successful.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's a tough start for Irwin, and I'm afraid they may be scared. They may be staring at, you know, another loss this week. So
on the preview, you said the MAC champion is going to have one loss. Are they going to have two losses now?
Well, I said one loss in conference.
That's true.
So I kind of backed off that on week two, but I'm not so sure. I think the MAC champion may have a loss in conference.
I think so. Doesn't everybody have a loss now?
No, I'm saying
in conference. Okay.
So, we'll see. Crazy year. So, last but not least, Reynolds traveled to Maiden. Lewis, you want to play the clip, the Maiden clip?
Oh, yes, I do.
Jeez.
But Maiden's going to whip that ass, and I just can't wait for it.
Agate.
That did not happen.
Lewis was wrong.
That was wrong.
Reynolds gets the win, 27-26, in what was a fantastic bounce-back game for the Rockets. They were led by the quarterback, Colton Reimer. 13 of 15, 151 yards, a touchdown. He also ran for 43. Wide receiver, Caden Ray. Guys, he only touched the ball three times. He carried it 43 yards for a touchdown, and he had two receptions for 82 yards and a touchdown. They might consider getting him the ball a little more. For Maiden, Grant Lawling, 22 of 40 through the air for 374 and three touchdowns. That's a pretty good game. Running back Shannon Wingate, 18 for 56 on the ground. And wide receiver Hampton Reed had 10 carries for 193 yards. This also a game that came down to the end. So
indeed it did.
I think Pat watched this game.
I did. I watched it this morning. This was a fantastic football game. And it was definitely not a Brevard team that Reynolds faced, but they were good. They were big on the line, and they made that known too. They did pretty well against Reynolds.
I will say Maiden is one of the top ranked teams on the high school overtime for Reynolds. It's 5A.
Yeah.
So they're a good team.
Yeah, they're a very good team.
Very good team. Yeah. And they battled. But there were some definite adjustments that Reynolds made week one to week two. Obviously, you already mentioned it, Mike. The quarterback this time was Colton Reimer, number 15. Right out of the gate, he gets the ball out fast. That really negates a lot of that potential pass rush that you had issues with prior. The ball is out. I mean, it's gone. But I broke it down. It was just a fantastic game to watch. A very exciting game. Reynolds starts out on defense. Maiden crosses the 50-yard line. They turn it over on downs. Great pass rush to stop that by 95. Ernesto Reyes really got in there and blew that up. Then Reynolds over onto offense. They get the ball out fast, but they wind up getting the punt at the end of the first. It's knotted up at 0-0. There's a pass interference call that saves a fourth and long for Maiden, and then they get down close to the end zone. They wind up converting another fourth and four and get a three-yard touchdown run by the quarterback. But the PAT is blocked by Reynolds, and it's a 6-0 Maiden score at that point. It's a nice run back by Tyven Patterson to the 35-yard line on the other side. Caden Ray, wow, that kid really stood out in the game. This is where he gets his 43-yard TD run, and then Reynolds gets their PAT blocked at 6-6. Maiden gets a good return. They start at their own 42. They turn it over on downs. Reynolds, huge pass, 46 yards. It was a third and 20. Caden Ray with the reception again there. 1 yard TD run by number 26, which I didn't fail to look up his name. I'm sorry to do that. Then the score is now 13-6 at that point. So we're still in the first half. Maiden gets a huge pass on the next drive. It's first and goal at the 7 with 17 seconds. Huge, huge stand by AC Reynolds. And they keep Maiden out of the end zone as time expires at the end of the first half. So Rockets lead 13-7 going into halftime. ACR gets a big run back, massive run back on the kickoff to start the second half. Unfortunately, Maiden causes the fumble, and they recover the ball on their own 23-yard line. Turnover to Maiden. Then they get a huge 65-yard touchdown pass. It's a very controversial two-point conversion. Now, you know how that angle is on that camera that you see from the huddle focus.
This is like 50-yard line, right?
Yeah, it's 50-yard line looking down here. They go for the two-point convert, or they go for the two-point conversion, and they get it. But look to me like the Reynolds defender got the kid at the 2-yard line, and even with him extending out, he wasn't anywhere close to being able to cross the plane from my angle. Obviously, I'm not looking at it right down the line, but it did look kind of shady. But you know, I wasn't there, but that was just what I saw in there. So anyway, it's now 14-13 Maiden. Reynolds goes three and out. Maiden, 40-yard touchdown pass. They missed the PAT. Maiden's now up 20-13. It's a big third down pass to convert also to Caden Ray again. 34-yard touchdown pass to him as well. Now we're knotted up at 20 apiece. Maiden botches their punt, and they were deep in their own end zones. Turnover to AC Reynolds. They have it on the Maiden 26 at the end of the third. ACR is a 3-yard touchdown run. Reynolds goes up 27-20. Maiden turns over on downs. ACR ball at the ACR 40. ACR turnover on downs. Maiden ball at their own 18-yard line. Maiden 15-yard touchdown pass. So now Maiden tries for two at this point. They come up short. It's 27-26. That's the fourth game like that, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? Maiden gets the onside kick.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
And they have a shot. 53 seconds left. They throw it down the field. And they lots of big opportunities. And then at the end, the quarterback for Maiden scrambles. And it looks like he actually throws the ball to himself. I watched the play over and over again, see if the ball actually left his hand. But he's in there, and he's getting swamped by the Reynolds pass pressure. And the arm comes forward, but the ball never leaves his hand. But everybody thought the ball had come out, so the Reynolds defenders kind of let up. And he's still got the ball. He's behind the line of scrimmage. And he takes off and runs to the left side of the field, heaves one toward the end zone. And the Reynolds defenders are still there, and they knock it down at the goal line. Incomplete. Wow. Game over. Reynolds wins 27-26. Crazy game.
Sounds like a good game.
Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith.
What a game.
Sounds like a real good game.
Yeah. Really good. Now,
getting
here's the
onside kick after a failed two-point, that's electric.
Oh, yeah. I was like, holy cow, it's crazy. But here's the things I noticed. Reynolds' offensive line did improve. They were better than, you know, was like I said, wasn't Brevard they were facing, but that was a bigger, stronger line on both sides of the ball, in my opinion, that Maiden had. But Reynolds' offensive line did improve. They still have got some improving to do for sure, but with that quick release, that's going to be a big help.
Now, was the improvement because of how quick he was getting it out?
I don't think that hurt at all, but I did notice they were operating a little bit better on the run block and on their on their pass. It's a little bit better.
I saw a couple of videos. I mean, they had explosive runs.
Yeah.
So some of those, I mean, and Patterson with the kick return. I mean, those are that does not hurt. And then how many times have we talked about a Reynolds special teams making a play? And it's like, who would have thought when they block a extra point that would come back to, you know, in the fourth quarter where that point really matters.
Now the defensive line for Reynolds, I thought struggled a little bit up there, but what was interesting, it was definitely a bend, not break Reynolds defense set up like as per normal. It almost seemed like they really stiffened, certainly down the goal line with the two big goal line stands ahead. But anytime Maiden got across the 50-yard line, it got a little tighter and a little harder. But Reynolds was able to dial up blitzes from different parts of the field and key points, even though they were moving that defensive line back. These, you know, Tyven Patterson flying in there, somebody else from the linebacker slot, somebody's always coming up making a huge player, flushing the quarterback out of there. The interesting thing was that when Maiden got into their 2 second or their 2 minute offense, they were just flying it down the field. You know, I mean, they were at both the end of the first half and at the end of the second half. I was like, wow, this wasn't here earlier, but hopefully we can stop it. And fortunately Reynolds did. But anyway, very exciting game to watch.
So Pat and Mike got this one correct. I told you they'd bounce back this week.
I believe Pat said the biggest adjustments are between week one and week two.
I did say that.
Think that's correct, and good job for those guys over there. Yeah. Hopefully they continue not to do that.
I hope they continue to do that. Lewis?
Oh, man. So that exciting. It was an exciting week two.
Man.
We got some good games coming up in week three.
We do.
So we do want to mention player of the week this week, guys. And I think it has to be Hendersonville quarterback, right?
Without it. I don't think it could. I don't know if you can go anywhere else. I mean, there was some great play from other players for sure, but this was a standout for sure.
Yeah, so quarterback Jerron Ward, 15 of 18, 326 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 pick in a 39-7 win over West. So player of the week.
What do you think? You think after the game they all went down and got some apple cider?
It was I can't believe they played a game downtown during Apple Festival.
I think that's the best time to play. Well, I mean,
we thought about going. I was like, there's no way I'm fighting all that traffic.
Oh, dude, traffic would be awful. We were down there yesterday seeing Best Family, but traffic is horrendous in Hendersonville right now.
Yeah. Whitney went Saturday, and I think it rained on them a little bit, but then they ended up having a great time.
So let's talk about a few polls. We're recording a little earlier on Monday because we're not working. No ACT poll yet.
Plus, Pat never works.
What?
That's a good point.
I do work. I work very, very hard.
Just at Bojangles.
So let's start with Derek's Dirty Dozen poll. Carson's got that for us.
So with Derek's Dirty Dozen, the top 10 week 2 edition.
Should we mention who Derek is?
Yeah, Derek Green, friend of the show.
Part of the show.
Basically part of the show. Was on it last year.
Then he moved.
Until he abandoned his community.
He did. He abandoned us. He ran away.
He did. But old former... Reynolds Rocket football coach, Derek's super guy.
General knowledge of the show.
He coached three of our kids.
Yeah. He has not coached mine yet. I would love for him to.
Yeah. Just say not Carson's.
Yeah, not mine yet.
Are you guys thinking about forming a pack, going to North Buncombe, taking over?
No.
No. Okay.
No. But if Derek was coach there, I mean, I would think about letting Paxton go there.
No pressure, Derek.
So with number 10 this week, we're going to he's going with Asheville School, sneaking into the power ranking for the first time in the 2025 of the Blues, looking for them to make some waves amongst the big boys in private school ball. Christ School's win streak may be in jeopardy this year.
We do hear that every year. We'll see.
We will see.
Asheville School's got some interesting games coming up the next couple weeks that we'll talk about.
I think we'll know a lot more before that game. But we got Pisgah at number 9, sloppy win against Swain County in week 2. If the Bears can clean up their turnovers, they can hang with almost anyone in Western North Carolina.
According to Pat, the most physical team in the universe.
Yes. Pat loves physicality, and Pisgah has it. Number 8, we got Franklin. Good win against a respectable Robbinsville team. Physical Panther football seems to be back on the menu for 2025. The Mountain 8 is the deepest league in the mountains.
And Robbinsville down this year.
Yeah.
Some would say they were a JV team compared to the MAC, but you know.
Some would.
Some would. Irwin at number 7 drops from the 5 spot. Missing Lawson Reynolds is big time. Without him, they are a completely different team. Irwin being 2-0-2 was not on my 2025 bingo card. Very real possibility the Warriors start 0-3 with Brevard coming up week 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got number 6, Wes Henderson dropping from the 4 spot. Woof. Laid an egg against an in-county rival. Was not expecting this after winning a close game against a good Irwin team. Can they regroup and get things straightened out before and challenge for the Mountain 8 title? Won't see either passing attack line like that until the playoffs. With number 5, you've got AC Reynolds. Rebounded well in week 2. Winning a close game on the road will prove vital in building confidence moving forward. Number 15, seemed to operate well at QB while Holifield was out. And you got, yeah?
I was just going to mention, they did say Holifield in concussion protocol, the starting quarterback from week 1. They say that's why he did not play. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you think, well, never mind. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about it later. Number 4, you got Asheville. Tough matchup against a massive school in East Tennessee and Dobbins Bennett. Approximately 2,400 kids. Tough environment to travel and play with young group. I'm not into moral victories, but this will be a loss that they can build off moving forward. Still the MAC favorites in my eyes, just 2 weeks into the season. Big test and crest this week. Then you got the surprise team of the year so far for Derek. Number 3, Hendersonville. Phenomenal showing in a rivalry game on TV. Most explosive offense in Western North Carolina so far. You got number 2.
I agree with that. Like, they are the surprise so far, right?
Yeah, These top 3, man, I wish I could see them in a round robin.
Yeah, and I think going in, just even 2 weeks in, it's like these top 3, we thought Brevard was going to be good. But then we knew Mountain Heritage, but we would have still had one of the big boys in because we've always talked about how great the MAC is and things. But with number 2, you got Mountain Heritage, incredible performance on pace to challenge for a state title. Can they keep improving as the season goes and peak at the right time? Mountain Hendersonville, Hendo for league title.
That'd be Mount Heritage and Hendersonville for a league title.
Yes, Mount Heritage and Hendo.
I mean, you got to put that on the calendar as a game to see.
For sure.
Those are totally opposite styles.
Yeah, I mean, that's – and I think, you know, Coach Ward already said it. He's like, we're gonna go for it. I mean, we're gonna chuck the ball deep. We're gonna try and play our game.
But that's the 3 times in the game you get the ball. Mountain Heritage is going to limit your possessions.
For sure.
Right?
And that's where Irwin couldn't take advantage of those limited possessions. Sorry.
Because of the line, but sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And then at number 1, he Brevard, and he put Idle. So yeah, he still got Brevard at the top spot.
I like that poll. Those top 4, those are some good teams.
Yes. Indeed.
So I have a few other polls. No ACT as of yet, but High School Overtime put out their 8-2-8 poll, which is 8-2-8 covers basically Hickory.
Yeah,
to the state line this way. Number 1, Watauga. No surprise there. 2, Brevard. 3, Hickory. 4, Freedom. 5, Reynolds. 6, Maiden. 7, Bandies. 8, Hendersonville. 9, Mount Heritage. And 10, Asheville School. They also broke it down by a statewide poll by category, by classification. And 6A, Reynolds is at 14. Asheville at 21. TC at 28. In 5A, Crest, number 1, J.M. Robinson, 2, West Henderson, 17, Irwin, 18, North Henderson, 19. In 4A, number 1, Brevard, 4, Maiden, so it was 4A, Maiden, number 4, even after the loss to Reynolds, 20, Pisgah, 21, Tuscola. In 3A, number 5 is Hendersonville, 7 is Mount Heritage, and number 32 is Madison.
Wow.
So they made the top 32.
What was that?
That's the High School Overtime.
I can't wait to prove them wrong.
That's a respectable organization.
That is. Very respectable source.
I'm very respectful, yeah, for sure, but I cannot wait to prove them wrong. That just gets my goat there. I'm not going to lie.
Lewis just sat up in his chair when he heard that.
He's wanting to flex.
Madison's 2-0.
Feel a flex coming.
Yes.
Madison's 2-0.
I'm sure
they're undefeated.
They are. Yeah, they are. Good.
The fight in Ronald Tipton's.
Yes.
Was it you or Derek that called him that?
Derek did.
The fighting Ronald Tipton's.
Derek did. I'm in.
All right. So let's talk about week 3. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Week three. Get your picks ready. Carson, you got your pen over there?
I do.
But nothing to write on. All right, so.
He's taking. He just took Pat's note sheet, so now Pat has nothing to write on. Hold on.
Here. All right, so here we go. The first game, and I'm going to give you the game, and then I want to explain why I put this game on there, and it'll all make sense. So the first game is Ambassador Christian at Asheville School. Asheville School is a 20.5-point favorite. They're 2-0 on the year. They beat Webb out of Knoxville last week. They've currently scored 88 points for the season while only giving up 30. They're led by their quarterback, Howard. He throws it for 153 yards a game while running back was... The running backs, Lazor and McKendy, are averaging 132 yards a game each. They rush it for 310 yards as a team per game. For Ambassador Christian, they're 2-0. They beat Christ School 28-16. So the reason they're on here...
Because of the matchup.
Yeah. Asheville School's a favorite against a team that beat Christ School. And yep. Asheville School plays Asheville High the next week.
Yes.
How many years did you say it's been?
I think it's 14. I'm not 100% sure. But it's like 14 years in a row Christ School's beat Asheville School. So that's why this is on here. Asheville School, a 20.5-point favorite. Lewis, who you taking?
I think I'm going to have to do Ambassador Christian. Just because they did beat Christ School, and Christ School, for the last decade at least, has beat Asheville School. So I think Ambassador Christian, and I think the spread's wrong. It should probably be the other way, but that's what I'm going with.
Carson?
I'm going to go with Ambassador Christian as well.
Pat?
I'm going to take Asheville School.
I think Asheville School can win this game because they're running the football, but...
They have to win by 21.
Mm-hmm. After talking to Luke, who watched the game with Christ School and Ambassador Christian, Ambassador Christian's got 96 kids. They're big up front.
They just keep rotating.
I like Ambassador Christian.
Indeed.
Good, I'll pick them again. That'd be great.
Just go ahead and put 47 minutes down for next week's recordings.
So next up.
Nice.
Guys, next up, this is the first for Behind the Beard. We have Owen at Patton.
Ooh.
Owen is the favorite by 6.5.
Wow.
First time in a while, boys.
First time I think we've ever had Owen as a favorite on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say first time they've been a favorite in how many years do you think, Owen?
I'm saying a decade. Well, I mean, sometimes against like Rosman, but maybe we weren't, were we?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But it's been at least a decade, probably. Okay.
So Owen 1-1, Patton 0-1. They had last week off. They lost to Freedom in week one, 46-6. They did not have a varsity team last year. Owen, they're averaging 31 a game while giving up 14 a game. They're currently rushing for 240 yards a game. Carson, who do you like in this one?
So I've picked against them last week, and they proved me wrong. But I'm going to go with Owen is going to take the – Lewis said it's not really a moral victory, but – I'm going to go with Owen building off of the confidence of coming back in that second half.
For sure.
Coming out strong. And I think Owen can handle Patton here. And I'm going to go with Owen covering, winning by a touchdown.
Go ahead, Pat.
I'm going to go ahead and echo Carson's frequent comment that good teams win and great teams cover. So, Owen, let's go ahead and be a great team. Give me Owen.
Yep.
Lewis is giving me the death stare. He doesn't want me to jinx Owen, but...
Indeed.
I think Owen wins this one by 3 touchdowns. Give me Owen.
Yeah, speaking with Coach Faircloth, I mean, Patton's somewhere in between Rosman and Cherryville. So, you know, we handled Rosman pretty well. Cherryville, I mean, we really probably should have beat if the 21-point lead kind of killed us. But obviously, I'm going to pick Owen.
Indeed.
So, Patton, are they on West Asheville up there where the Gold's Gym is?
Yeah, they actually live in the Kmart.
The old Kmart.
Yeah, the old Kmart. Patton. That's where they play.
Dude, it's crazy. Winning team gets Tasty Freeze.
Nice.
That's huge.
Nice.
No, they're down in Morganton.
Yeah, I'm just joking.
Exit 104.
So next up, we got Hendersonville 2-0, traveling to North Henderson. Guys, North Henderson's also 2-0. This could be for the Hendersonville Championship, which is a big deal, talking to those coaches down there. It's Hendersonville wins. They beat all three Henderson County schools. North has beat RS Central. They beat them last week 42-37. They've scored 77 points this year while giving up 44. They're led by their sophomore running back, Parker Willis. He averages 183 yards a game on the ground while scoring 6 touchdowns. Senior quarterback Aiden Berry averages 132 yards a game through the air. He has 4 touchdowns and 1 interception. For Hendersonville, we talked about it. They're led by their quarterback, Jerron Ward. He averages 196 yards a game. He has 6 touchdowns on the year. Buford rushing it for 92 yards a game. Guys, Hendersonville defense, we don't talk a lot about defense, but it's just as impressive as their offense. They've scored 107 points this year, Carson. They've only given up 7.
Wow.
So.
That's a big point differential.
Yeah. North Henderson getting 13.5, Pat.
So, you know, I think you mentioned earlier, Mike, that you got a text from the Hendersonville coach that last week we may have made the quarterback angry with our picks. Is that correct?
I believe that's the case.
Well, 3 of you did.
Indeed. Well, I hope then he continues to have his anger, but it won't be at my expense, because I think Hendersonville and Derek Sturdy does and backs it up too. I think they're going to get the win here.
So last year, Hendersonville wins this game 20-7. My only concern, North Henderson going to run the ball. They're also going to try to limit possessions for Hendersonville. Hendersonville's going to have to take advantage when they have the ball. But listen, they're playing some phenomenal football right now. I'm taking Hendersonville as well.
I don't think Hendersonville gets stopped at all this game. They can limit possessions as much as they want. Hendersonville's going to score every possession. I can't even believe like we're debating this, because I mean North is generally not good. Hendersonville's going to win this game.
Well, North 2-0.
I agree.
North's had a decent start to the year.
So, yeah, I mean, for them, but we know it's going to happen.
Well, my thing is about limiting possessions. I would argue that I would think the West is better than North.
100%.
And so I would think that West is also trying to limit possessions. They're going to run the ball.
And it didn't matter.
And it really didn't matter. So yeah. I'm going to clean sweep it and go with Hendersonville as well.
All right, next up.
But just stay angry, right? Stay mad.
Stay angry.
That's what Brendan would always say. Stay mad.
Stay mad.
So next up, Robbinsville at Mount Heritage. Usually a fantastic matchup. Last year, Mount Heritage wins 28-13. Mount Heritage is 2-0 on the year, while Robbinsville is 0-2. They lost to Franklin. Robbinsville lost to Franklin last week 28-7. They've scored 35 while giving up 42, so they've had some close games. They have no stats on Max Preps. Mount Heritage, 2-0. Like I said, they've scored 78 while giving up 34. Mount Heritage, a 21.5-point favorite. So the question is, will they win by more than 3 touchdowns? And I'm going to go, yeah, I think they do. I think they do score more than that, and they beat Robbinsville pretty bad.
Yeah, you guys know how much I love Robbinsville.
And this game's at Mount Heritage, which makes a difference.
Yeah, definitely. They're going to come out through the trees that are left. You know, Robbinsville may be a little bit down year. They're struggling a little bit. I'm definitely going to have to go ahead and pick Mountain Heritage.
Yeah, I just don't know if they're going to be able to stop Mountain Heritage. And I don't I see this game could get out of hand. And, you know, I wonder what the spread would be if it was at Robbinsville. But with this game being at Mountain Heritage,
it'd probably be 19.
17, 19, somewhere around there. Yeah. I think with them traveling to Mountain Heritage, they're going to keep the pedal on the metal. So I'm going to go with Mountain Heritage.
I have nothing more to add to this conversation. It's Mountain Heritage.
So we all pick the same teams in every game?
For the last 3. I'm loving my lead right now, by the way, because if we keep picking the same games,
you're going to keep winning.
Just keep winning.
All right. So next up, this one could split us up here. The Pisgah at Inca. Inca gets... Pisgah didn't look that great against Swain.
Yeah, that's true. But this is Inca.
Inca getting 20.5. On the year, Pisgah scored 47 while giving up 75. According to Pat, Pisgah, the most physical team in the entire metaverse. And
that's the metaverse.
I love it. What's next? Because I don't know what gets bigger than metaverse.
Inca has only scored 27 while giving up 56. Last year, Pisgah won 49-14. Carson.
I'm going to go with Pisgah, and there's not enough points here for me.
Agreed. Pisgah.
Oh, you're going against – this is the first week. You're going against your community?
I'm calling Pisgah the winner here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just usually pick Inca.
Well, Lewis.
Things are changing.
You know when you go check on your financial advisor and he's like, hey, we're killing it this year. You're up 50%. Like, he's just hit a home run ball. Well, that's how I feel about Pat, and he chose to take his lineage out of that region for a reason.
Agony. I have no idea what.
I'm definitely picking Pisgah.
Pisgah for me as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So next up, this could be an intriguing game, in my opinion. Madison 2-0 traveling to Weaverville to take on North Buncombe, who's 1-1. North Buncombe, a 25.5-point favorite. Madison, they're scoring 30 points a game, Carson, while only giving up 4. Their strength is their defense. They're playing hard. They're getting after it. And they got a new coach. For North Buncombe, they're led by running back Keeson Dennison and their ground attack. They're scoring 27 a game while giving up 11. Pat, who you think right here? I will tell you this. North Buncombe won last year 42-14.
Indeed. That's a healthy score there for sure. Yeah, you know what? North Buncombe's getting 25.5.
Well, they're a favorite of 25.5. That means Madison gets it.
Yeah, that's true. I said it the wrong way.
That's okay. Who you taking?
You think I'd know the spread, but clearly I don't understand what I'm talking about. I think that I think North Buncombe is going to get the win here, but I think they're not going to be able to cover. So I guess I'm taking
Madison.
Lewis.
I do feel like Madison has improved over last year, and I think maybe there's some off-the-field stuff fueling.
And you're a big Madison fan.
Their drive. I hate Madison, by the way.
Tell me how you really feel.
Hate everything they stand for. But anyway, I'm going to definitely pick North Buncombe.
I'm taking Madison and the Fighting Ronald Tiptons. I think Coach Tipton's got those guys playing some fantastic football, and they're going to get the win and cover.
Maybe he'll get a seventh inning rally out of them.
They're getting the point, but they're going to win. They're going to win the game.
Ooh. I think that the jug could be headed back to Madison County this one.
The first time in a while.
For the first time in a while. And I just think the big edge for me is coaching. And, you know, that's the big edge for me. Coach Tipton played for him, and he is going to have those guys ready to run through a brick wall for him.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game. That might be one of the most exciting games of the week.
And we'll get to pick one up on Lewis.
I do like how Pat's writing down his picks this week.
Yeah. We may have messed Pat's picks up, but more to come on that. So next up, South Point traveling to TC. TC 1-1, South Point 1-0. Robertson Gidding, 28.5, is the underdog. They're averaging 6 points a game while giving up 26. They were not able to do much against Watauga. South Point, well, guys, they beat Hickory 27-25. They had a bye last week. They're led by their sophomore running back, Kavion Pless, 29 carries and 200 yards a game and 4 touchdowns. They're rushing for 350 as a team. Lewis?
TC's trying to figure out that offense.
Yes.
Once they finally get that figured out, everything worked out, they're going to be a good team. They do have good athletes. I don't think it's time to, put signs up in the coach's yard or anything, but I am going to pick TC on this. Hopefully they can keep it within the spread.
I think the big thing for me is, they beat Hickory. South Point beat Hickory.
And they've had a week to prepare.
I think South Point wins and covers.
What is the spread again? What did you say?
28.5. That's 4 touchdowns plus a half a point.
That's a lot of points.
That is a lot of points.
That's why I think TC can keep it in that.
Carson, I think Pat's thinking. You want to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Robertson keeping it within the points, but South Point beating Hickory, I don't feel confident about this.
The thing that may keep it within the spread is South Point wants to run the football.
Yes. They
don't throw it.
Yeah. Robertson's given up, what would you say, 26.5 points so far a game?
26, yes. Yeah.
They're not scoring much, but
6.
Yeah.
Give me South Point.
Pat's taking South Point. So next up, Irwin. Guys, Irwin probably has arguably the toughest non-conference schedule of anyone. They have Brevard this week and Hendersonville next week. So,
golly.
That's tough. Brevard 1-0. They had a bye week this week. They beat Reynolds in week 1, 31-7. They're led by the running game. Thompson rushes for 97 a game, and Skinner rushes for 57 for Irwin. They're giving up. They're only scoring 18 points a game. This is a team that scored tons of points last year. Only scoring 18 a game while giving up 29. Lawson Reynolds, is he back? I don't know.
I think he's back this week.
The O has got to click, and they got to keep their defense off the field. Last year, Irwin won this game 56-42. Guys, I don't think Irwin can put up 56 this year. Carson, what are you thinking?
Yeah. No, I don't think they're going to put up 56, but I do have Irwin. I think they're going to figure something out identity-wise. They've got another week to prepare. I think they can keep it within the points.
Irwin getting 30.5.
30.5. And so I'm going to go with Irwin keeping it within the points.
I'm going to take Brevard in this one. I think their offense just too powerful. They beat Reynolds by almost 30. So I think they'll do the same here. Lewis?
Well, what's been going on is after Rodney's been hanging up with you late at night, he's been calling me. I'm bought in. I'm going Irwin on this.
I was at that Brevard ACR game. The edge rushers for Brevard are no joke. So to pair with that offense, since you just talked about Mike, the offensive line is going to have their hands full, to say the least, with Brevard's defensive pass rush. Brevard all day, twice on Sunday.
So next up, Asheville at Crest. Asheville 1-1, traveling to Crest 2-0. Asheville may have the toughest schedule, 1B. If Irwin's 1A, yeah. Asheville's 1B. Crest, 2-0, they beat Burns 55-14. Week 1, they beat Shelby 31-24. Week 2, they're scoring 43 points a game while giving up 19. They're led by their quarterback. You may have heard of this guy, Eli Hemrick. He's 14-19 in week 1, 384 yards and 3 touchdowns. They have 2 receivers who average over 150 yards a game. Notable alumni, David Thompson, went to Crest. Nobody probably knows who David Thompson is except maybe Pat.
I have no idea who David Thompson is.
I don't know.
He was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan.
Really?
Yes. You need to Google him.
Indeed.
Asheville, 1-1, like we said. They're scoring 23 a game while giving up 28. Their offense is the key. Can they score enough points to keep up with Crest? Carson, you going with your boys here? 22.5 points for Asheville.
22.5 points. This is going to be a really tough matchup. Back-to-back road games for such a young group. I don't think it's a recipe for success right now, but they're not playing for week 3. They're playing to build something for the MAC title. But I'm going to go with Asheville covering, keeping it within, and they're going to have their hands full. But I'm going to go with Asheville, making the right adjustments, figuring out, getting those couple key plays on offense to go down, and then hopefully the defensive building on what they did last week.
So Asheville's defense stepping up last week, only giving up 21, gives me hope. I think Asheville keeps it close here. Going Asheville, Pat?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I thought that comment that you got from Court about the defense stepping up against a Dobbins-Bennett team, that makes me curious. I'm hopeful that that's the case, because if so, then Asheville pairing that with their offense, I think that they'll be able to keep it. Definitely keep it within the spread. So give me Asheville and the points.
Lewis?
I mean, I agree with you guys. I think Asheville's defense improving. Their offense is going to do nothing but improve. I don't think the 22.5 is enough, so I'm going to pick Asheville.
All right.
Yeah.
All Asheville here. So next up, this is probably the game of the week in West North Carolina. J.M. Robinson traveling to A.C. Reynolds. A.C. Reynolds, the underdog here, getting 3.5. Both teams 1-1. J.M. Robinson lost to Myers Park. Well, Myers Park also beat Weddington, so Myers Park, a pretty good team. They beat West Cabreras 42-10. They're led by their quarterback, Greenfield, 220 yards a game and 6 touchdowns on the year with only 1 interception. Running back Watson, 88 yards a game on the ground with 1 touchdown. And 9 receivers have caught a pass, none of which average more than 60 yards. So Reynolds cannot key on one player in their wide receiving core. For Reynolds, did they figure it out last week? Is Colton Reimer the new quarterback going forward? They had 5 running backs who rushed for 138 yards a game. And Caden Ray, explosive. Can they get him the ball enough?
First of all, Pat, are you going to be calling this game?
Yes, I will be calling in Chris St. Ange, Travis Clayton, and myself.
Well, can I go ahead and pick?
Sure.
With the knowledge that Pat's going to be there, I'm pretty sure, Pat, you know, this is a close game. It could go either way, Both teams are good teams. Pretty sure Pat's going to sign a little personal check going into the ref's food box.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to go J.M. Robinson.
Indeed.
Pat, go ahead and pick Reynolds.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick Reynolds here. I liked what I saw this past week with how they improved from week one to week two. I have no idea what the quarterback situation is and how they're going to sort that out, but I did like what I saw from the new quarterback getting the ball out quickly. He'll have to do that again for sure. The bend not break defense.
But hold on a minute. The new quarterback, he's just there because of concussion.
I don't know.
I'm sure the new guy or the old guy's going to come back in, right?
No clue. They don't tell me anything.
I mean, they haven't replaced him. Are you saying they replaced him?
I am not saying
that. What Pat did not mention about watching the game this morning was you were at the school with the coaches,
you were at
right?
Practice, no, right?
I was not at the school. They do not communicate with me at all.
He was at the coaches meeting.
They never say a word to me about anything. No, I don't know anything.
Pat, just lean into it.
I will lean into this. I don't know if y'all noticed, but Klepper was not on the field for Reynolds in the game on Friday night. So I don't know what his status is either. Obviously, he is quite a threat when he is on the field at that tight end spot. And if he's back, whichever quarterback is in there, we'll obviously be glad to throw it to him. But if he's not there, then, you know, you brought up Ray. It'd be good to see him continue to do well. Tyven Patterson played on both sides of the ball on Friday. He's obviously a fantastic athlete. And then inside, just the other running backs are just – Reynolds has a good, solid running back core. Obviously, we need to continue to improve at the offensive line. And I think they're going to do that. So, give me Reynolds.
Do you know what the cool thing about this is? Teams have to prepare for three different looks, right? The ACA guy, this Colton guy, or Patterson. Who's going to be the quarterback? Who knows?
That's true. And that could be a challenge.
Yeah. Another reason probably why they don't communicate with me on anything.
Carson, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to go – I think Reynolds, we talked about it, and they're just – they're going to keep making adjustments. Reynolds is a home dog underneath touchdown. It's like, yeah, I'm going to take Reynolds in the points. And something's going to happen because it's – we've had people make comments to us. It's Reynolds. The ball bounces their way. And I think the ball bounces their way on special teams again, and I'm going to go with Reynolds at home.
Yeah, this is tough. This is going to be a close game. I mean, you look at the 3.5-point spread, definitely a tough game. I think it's J.M. Robinson this week.
That's right.
I think they get the
that's
win.
Right.
Lewis.
That's who I'm going to take in this one.
I understand.
And I think I'll be at this game. I think this is the game of the week. Either here, or I may go to Asheville School and see what they got going on.
Isn't that such a nice feeling? You get to go where you want to.
I go wherever I want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for this week.
Indeed. It's going to be exciting.
Carson, you got anything you need to share?
No, I mean, we just... there's going to be a lot of picks that are similar, but I don't think that takes anything away from this. We're going to be able to have a lot. We're going to know a lot more about all of these teams next week. Even if you've got a 25-point team. I mean, North Buncombe goes and beats Madison by one. It's like that tells you something. And then you've got North Henderson Hendo. I mean, that's a good big matchup. Where did Hendersonville have so much? You know, use so much emotion last week beating West. You know, is this a natural letdown with school being out on Monday? It's kind of a different week. I don't know. I mean, I'll never apologize for a week of football. So another week of football. I think we have some decent games. It's not the craziest slate that you've ever looked at, but each game's going to tell you something.
And we're inching closer to conference play.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
that's when it really starts to matter.
Do you think some of these coaches regret how tough of a schedule?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't know that regret is
not,
the right
yeah,
word.
Not regret.
Like,
that's not. I don't know what the word I was.
You think
looking
they get
for.
In their? Do you think they get in their office like?
Because we've talked numerous times about how difficult it was to make that schedule. So it's. I mean, they probably didn't have a whole ton of choice in it, but you know, Irwin's got the gauntlet. Asheville. I mean, going to Kingsport, and then I didn't realize it was to Kingsport, to Crest. I mean, how far are those two away from each other?
And Court used to coach at Crest.
Yeah.
Well, think about how many years we've watched the Reynolds, Ashevilles. Even the TCs, like, just schedule tremendous games up front. But then week five, it all pays off.
Yeah.
Right? Week 5 through 10, it pays off.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think regret. Like, each coach schedules a game like, hey, I want my team to learn something here. And I think they do that.
So Bavard, West, Mount Heritage, Hendersonville. Those guys all have tough non-conference, and I think it does. It's going to pay. You're not going to be perfect, probably.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it will pay for itself come conference time when you're ready to play in a big game.
Is this the year that you would have loved to have seen? I mean, you always think Mountain Hunters is never going to schedule That's Reynolds. Right. You know, wouldn't this have been the perfect year for them to get that game on the schedule?
Or do you think it's Reynolds not scheduling them?
I would say it's generally Mountain Heritage.
You think so?
I think Reynolds will schedule anybody that's willing to play.
Coach Laws will schedule anybody.
So Christ School, they'll schedule Christ School?
They'll schedule any public school.
Oh, any public school. We're changing it now. Okay.
But no.
Agony. I think there's some other reasons. I don't think they're scared of the competition.
I'm sure they're afraid to lose people like they do to other people.
Mm. It's also tough. I'm can't sit here and say like last week, I hope Lewis loses every pick because I'm on about half of them.
Yeah.
So also you already mentioned it. This week Reynolds is at home. The live stream is up and running through Huddle, and the Huddle platform is very good. We've learned more and more and more about that this year. We're going to have obviously Chris St. Ange and I in the booth doing the call, and Travis Clayton will be up there too, doing the production work and chiming in with statistics. So if you cannot be at the Reynolds game, which obviously is the best way to support him, please tune into the live stream.
Pat, can you tell me one thing about that?
What?
And I'm willing to cut this out if you don't want it in there.
Great. By that qualifier, I'll probably say yes.
I've seen the pricing for that come out on Facebook this week. Did you see it?
Yeah, I put it out there. I was the one that put the post out.
$40 for one game?
Yeah, well, no,
but
that's,
if you get the whole season, it's a whole lot cheaper.
I know, but why $40 for one game?
Well, so you get the whole season.
The angle with that was because obviously you're right. If you're going to get the deal, you're going to do the whole season, or you're going to do
what
the whole year.
What was it? $80, $100 for the whole year.
I think it's $100 for the whole year for all the sports and everything. But
$40.
The people that would be getting the one game would be like the visiting team. You know, if they just want the one game, because they don't want to get the whole Reynolds thing like that. Okay. So it's an opportunity to you know, obviously profit from that. So
if I sign up for the Reynolds huddle, can I watch other teams' huddles?
My understanding is that as long as it's been keyed in the right way, like, for example, let's say Reynolds is playing Jam Robinson, and Jam Robinson has huddle live stream like the Reynolds people do. And they key in their schedule and their game live stream, and they pick AC Reynolds as the opponent's team. It should show up in the queue for Reynolds subscribers to watch. That's what I've been told. Whether or not it's doing that or not, I have no idea.
So if JM Robinson charges $12 a year, can I sign up for theirs and watch all the Reynolds games?
No, you'd only be able to see the one Reynolds game. Okay. The one Reynolds.
Go ahead, Luke.
Or you know what you could do, Pat?
No. No, Lewis.
There's no telling what Lewis is about to come up with.
No.
So we may have another podcast drop this week. We're working on maybe a special guest later this week and maybe get it out.
Yeah, that would be good.
I really hope he does join us this week.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't want to give it away, but
it'd be a big guest.
Maybe a whole other series inside of our podcast. Yeah. Maybe something that might be interesting to everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And we got to have a fun question, right?
Do you have one?
I've thought of one. Now, I think I've shared this with you guys before, but we recently added HBO to our YouTube TV lineup, and we've been watching some things. And one of the things we just started watching at home was The Sopranos, because I've never seen The Sopranos.
Greatest show ever.
Oh, it is a great show.
Carson doesn't even know what it is, probably.
I don't.
I've heard of it.
Are you kidding me?
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
Really?
It's really worth
it. It came out after he was born.
Yeah, it came out in 96, I learned. It's an older show.
When were you born?
95.
Oh, unbelievable.
Right.
Wow. That was a year ago.
I turned 30 this year.
That's crazy. I have my Pat 30th wedding anniversary. That's true. I could. That's scary.
That is scary. Not really, Pat.
Here's,
I would be Pat. A good son.
Hey, take it the 401 or the IRA you would have right now.
Oh, I mean, talk about starting with leg up.
That's right.
I'd start
helicopter
on
helicopter rides, plane rides.
They say Ryan Day starts on third base. I would have started on
Do you
third
remember
base.
When he flew the president to the ship? Remember?
Yep.
Agony. You know what, though? We were, another note, you know, we were talking about winning the Powerball. Lewis has offered, when I win the Powerball, that he's going to take me boat shopping and helicopter shopping and airplane flying.
100%.
So I'll be able to rely on Lewis's expertise.
You know how they say, like, remain anonymous? It's like, I promise y'all, there will be signs. Like, there will be signs.
There'll definitely
y'all
be
will,
signs.
Y'all, there will be signs.
Like, Jameson stock's going to go through the roof.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Seriously.
So what's the fun question?
The fun question will be eliminating The Godfather, because we all know The Godfather was the great. What is your favorite either mob movie or series that you've seen?
Go ahead, Lewis.
The Goodfellas. I love the Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Okay. I like that one.
Casino.
Casino. That's a freaking great one, too. Gosh, that's good.
I don't know if this counts, but The Town.
The Town.
I like The Town. I like The Town. I think that counts.
What is The Town?
Oh, it's some Irish dudes that get together to rob banks.
That's
a great movie.
Mount Rushmore movie.
Yeah. It's a movie?
Yes.
It's about Boston.
It's a Mount Rushmore. You should watch it when we leave here today. Yeah.
So I watched a mob show. It was based in overseas, Mobland.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's new. Have you seen this?
I've not seen it.
Oh, it's really good. Anyway, go ahead.
My favorite is The Departed.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Love The Departed.
What about Peaky Blinders?
I've never heard of that.
Oh, geez.
That's Peaky's a good one. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the Peaky fucking Blinders.
Nice.
Oh, man. Well, guys, that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Till next time.
We love you.
Thank you. Thank you.